The Peace and Love Community Hour. A pleasant good afternoon and welcome once again to the Peace and Love Community Hour, your local, national and global connection right here on Radio 1400.am. Ras Amel with you in the hour. Your meeting point in our communities, focusing on entities of value in our communities, near and far, on the Peace and Love Community Hour. Good afternoon and welcome once again. This is the Peace and Love Community Hour right here on Radio 1400.am, the sound of peace and love. And of course, we're here Mondays to Fridays from 1 until 2. This afternoon, we're going to be talking about opportunities in our communities. It's a political season. And joining us this afternoon is Cynthia Jennings. And she is actually running for the statewide candidate for Secretary of the State of Connecticut. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for coming in this afternoon to talk with our listeners about a very touchy subject these days, because it seems as if the issue of voting opportunities or voting rights are under some kind of duress or under threat, as it would seem to me.
Yes, they are.
Based on what we're hearing. And I think it is a very mammoth task of you to want to walk in this path, to direct the affairs for Connecticut in this regard. So to that question, I'm going to ask you, in that context, what is it that has given you the inspiration to seek the office of the statewide candidate for the Secretary of the State of Connecticut?
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. I actually am running for Secretary of the State. I'm a civil rights attorney. I'm an environmental attorney. And as I tell people, I believe in clean air, clean water, and clean elections. And in Connecticut, we do not have clean elections.
Okay, so in other words, you've got to clean it up.
That's right. That's okay. Right.
No, it's a very serious thing, because we're talking about it is our communities, the minority communities, that are being threatened with the onslaught of changes that are taking place, or trying to change the proper procedures, so that our people be underserved in this area. What specific challenges do you see happening here in Connecticut?
Well, what's the specific challenge that I see is that there was a National Voting Rights Act that did not pass.
Right, right.
And that
right.
sent a message to me that in light of Roe versus Wade, and the fact that the country is now in a position where people really believe it's okay to take away our rights,
right.
we need to be concerned that the next right that they try and take away is the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone does not have the right to vote, but for those who have the right to vote, we have low voter turnout and low interest in the voting process, because people are not aware of how much money their vote brings in.
Oh.
And I'm one of the only candidates that running for Secretary of the State that is even talking about a state voting rights act. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because anything that is not handled by the federal government gets conferred to the states. Just like Roe versus
right.
Wade, they couldn't end abortion rights for the country because that's a state issue. It's not enumerated specifically in the Constitution, so it goes to the state.
Oh, I see.
So with the Voters Rights Act, if we don't have a local Voters Rights Act, then a lot of our voters can be disenfranchised.
Mm. And that sends a different message now in terms of where the future of our country is. The state, first of all, and by and large, the country. Well, getting the word out to the people to stimulate their interest, to let them know what is happening. How do we do that? Because in terms of having access to our communities through mediums such as this is somewhat limited, especially in Connecticut. And what kind of mechanisms can we use to excite our communities about this?
Well, one thing that will excite our communities is if our people in different communities and various communities have access to the ballot, which means have access to run for the positions like senator, congressman. There are almost 150 ballot positions that we could all be applying for and running if we had money.
Mm-hmm.
So generally,
okay.
politics in Connecticut used to be for sale. But that's why the ballot access is so important. It's important that we be able to get on the ballot. I mean, in this last election, I was literally almost X'd out of having ballot access and being able to run for Secretary of the State because the independent party that endorsed me was in the process of a takeover. And the Republican Party was going to take all the spots on the Independent Party line because they had candidates that they want to win and run. And they're very much in contention with the Democrats. So the Republicans had to get an additional line. The Democrats have the Working Family Party line.
Right. Okay.
They have the Democratic Party line. And they have, you know, and there was a third party line that they had.
Yes.
Okay. But for the Republicans, it was critical for them to get the get one of the lines. And the only line that was available was really the Independent Party line. So I think they took over the Independent Party line the last time, and they came close to winning the gubernatorial election. And this time, I'm sure if they had been reasonable and not tried to take every spot, then they, you know, there would have been some kind of discussion with them about, you know, being cross-endorsed. But it was all or nothing. So
I see where you're endorsed by the, is it the Gribble-Frank?
Yep, Gribble-Frank Party. Right. Yes, and
the SAM Party?
Right, and the SAM Party. Right. And the SAM Party is the Serve America movement, and the Gribble-Frank's Party is Oz Gribble was running for governor in the last election with Monty Franks, and they came very close. Well, not close. They came close enough to get the party line designated to them for those for the positions that they were running for, which was governor and lieutenant governor.
Okay.
So if I was going to be, and they endorsed me, but that means that I would have had to get 8,000 votes to be on that line. And we were doing well until we got the heat wave hit us and nobody would go out and work.
Right.
So that's why ballot access is important, because that means that if I didn't get on that line and the Independent Party was taken over, I wouldn't have an opportunity to run.
Mm-hmm.
And when I run, a lot of people know me. I was the kind of candidate, I literally shut down a landfill. People know me for what I do. I've done in this community, reduce the asthma rate for children, reduce the death rate for seniors in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot that I've been engaged in and involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So people know me. They know me in Hartford. I was working with an individual by the name of Jason Bartlett. He ran an African-American woman for Secretary of the State under the Republican ticket last time, and she came within 2% of the vote.
Oh.
Okay, and I was her urban coordinator. So it is a doable thing if we get our people out and get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we have to have, you know, the internet radio is fabulous because we could do you know, all over the state with that.
Sure.
But we also have to get the word out in as many forms as possible so that people know that I'm running, know where to look for me on the Independent Party line.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to go into the politics of it for a moment and ask you, in terms of looking at the Democrats and the Republicans in the context of this, what is it that you see that is not necessarily to your like or to your suit?
Well, what happens is once the Democrats and the Republicans endorse their candidates, the candidates, they're all going to be running on the same line.
I see.
So
the
Democrats are going to be row A, and they're going to promote row A.
Right.
So it doesn't matter who's running if people blindly go in and vote by row A. Okay.
I see what you're saying. So they actually own the line then. So
right. They own the line and they have the candidates lined up. If they ran Mickey Mouse would win. If the people did not make a difference in, you know, knowing who's running and learn to bullet vote and vote for the people that they know and leave.
Yes. And there's a lot of talk to Attorney Jennings that that people also should interest themselves in the other state seats and so on and so forth. The county boards and so on and so forth, that gives them more insight in terms of how they can acclimatize themselves in terms of what's taking place in the communities. We tend to look at the larger picture in terms of the gubernatorial races and possibly the presidential and probably senatorial, but we're not looking at those areas that touch people's lives directly. How would you respond to that?
Well, no one was interested in the Secretary of the State position. We had a Secretary of the State. Very few people knew who she was.
Is it Denise Merrill?
Yeah, Denise Merrill.
Yes.
They didn't really know who she was. She wasn't high profile like the governor, and like the lieutenant governor.
Right.
So you wouldn't necessarily know who she was. She did her job, and she did it well.
Right.
But But the bottom line is that no one was interested in running for that seat. People want the glitzy seats.
Okay.
However, Secretary of the State protects our democracy.
Right.
And our democracy is very much at risk right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get out there and understand the importance of the Secretary of State's position,
mm-hmm.
and put somebody in who would fight for our rights, then we could very well be in a position where our children and our grandchildren will never be able to run this state.
Right. That's a very good point. And the larger context of it in terms of what's happening at the on the national scale as far as politics is concerned is trying to move away from the democratic system, the small d mm-hmm. system. That in itself is, to me, a very, very treacherous path for all of us.
Right. We've gotten used to having rights in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thought Roe versus Wade would have won and overturned a law that was in there for 50 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when it's not far-fetched to believe that our voters' rights will be next. And without our voters' rights, we lose our jobs.
Right.
We lose our a lot of people lose housing. We lose the economics in our community. I mean, we lose so much when we lose our right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just disenfranchise or exclude a certain amount of people, then that means that the state of Connecticut loses, because if we don't have someone who will fight for the laws and to maintain our democratic way of life, then we lose money in the state of Connecticut. If we lose a senator or a congressperson, we lose that entire money that comes along with that person. And we've lost congresspeople and senators in Connecticut before.
Right.
So it costs us a lot of money, and it totally changes the economic makeup of our state.
You're a civil rights attorney, therefore mm-hmm. there are certain issues that are close to you. Apart from the issue pertaining to the environment and also the voting rights issue, what other issues would you like to pinpoint this afternoon?
Well, I would like to talk about how African Americans and Latinos are being wiped out and removed from state jobs in large numbers. And, you know, they're to no avail. I mean, we have organizations and institutions in place that are supposed to prevent that, but nothing is being prevented. Our attorney general recently got a law passed in the legislature that says that he could deal with pattern and practice discrimination in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not done that.
Oh.
So the pattern and practice is that black people are being left out or being removed from their jobs unjustly. And the practice is that they're continuing to do it. And the person who should be addressing that is the attorney general. There's been no investigations into why our people are being removed from jobs. And then, so by removing people from their jobs, if you're talking about just removing the women from their jobs, the women are the
right.
ones that have maintained the health
Family.
Insurance for yeah. our children, have maintained jobs so that the men can go out and run their own businesses if they like to or have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about a situation where our people can be removed from jobs with no retribution, no rights to go to get that job back.
And so what would be some kind of strategy that you would want to put in place to, first of all, bring the awareness of that issue on a much larger scale, number one, and number two, to actually force the Attorney General to pay attention to it?
Well, we might have to call in the Justice Department.
Oh.
I've done that before. I know the last governor that we had before this one decided they were going to balance the budget by removing the entire state agency that was put there to protect the rights of the people. It was the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. And I literally called in the Justice Department. They told me they couldn't talk to me. I'd have to come up with at least 10 organizations that they could talk to that were concerned. I said, can you come here next Wednesday? And I had 17 organizations that were voicing their opinion on that, including people who were working for CHRO and knew what the impact would be if you removed that one agency that was there to defend and protect the rights of the people
mm-hmm.
in the state of Connecticut.
Yes.
So it's the mission of CHRO is to end discrimination.
Okay.
But the governor's mission at that point was to end CHRO. And so when the Justice Department came in and talked to the governor, he agreed that they asked him, well, how much are other state budgets being cut? And he said, well, 15%.
Oh.
So then he agreed that that would be discrimination to cut more than 15% from CHRO. So he agreed to do that. The next week he told CHRO 50% was going to be cut. And I called the Justice Department again, And they sent their investigator back. He said 50 or 15. And I said, I said 50% of them are being removed from their jobs. And he said, I'll be down Wednesday. Okay. And so he came down, he talked to the governor, and when he left, we had 0% cut at the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. And that is the agency that is tasked at ending discrimination in the state of Connecticut.
Okay. And it's called?
CHRO, the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities.
Okay. I'm going to stay on the Attorney General for a moment because I came across an article having to do with the inadequacies of the transfer from People's Bank to M&T. And there seems to be a situation where the customers of the bank, of the People's Bank, are having difficulty in accessing and doing transactions through the bank. And he now is actually looking into it. So I thought it's very interesting that he's taking one side in terms of being an activist or activating on the interest of the community on one hand, but on the other hand, doesn't seem to be doing that. I just thought it had some sort of a different take on things.
Well, my position is he is an elected official. Mm-hmm. He is responsible to the voters of the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. That includes Black and Latino voters and women and LGBTQ people.
Right.
Okay, we are all represented by the people that we elect to represent us. This is a representative form of government. Mm-hmm. And when you're elected, you need to be responsive to the needs of the people. When people are losing their jobs, when people are being discriminated against, that is something that he needs to investigate because that's what he was hired to investigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I just thought it strange when you mentioned it a while ago in terms of, you know, the state jobs being lost. And he's not as active as he should be, but he's active in this situation. I just wondered why that was the case. There seems to be some inconsistency from where I sit.
I agree.
yes, indeed. Politics is life. And it seems to me that, you know, the electorate has to be more active and more aware of what they need to do to stand guard. They say, talk about the guardrails, actually standing guard on the guardrails. That's how I see it. To make sure that, you know, things remain in place for the benefit of ourselves and for the future generations. You're talking about, you know, affecting the ability to vote now. What is that going to look like 20 years from now for the kids who are born today?
That's right. And if we don't, as adults in this society, if we don't turn around and make sure that we don't continue to be removed from our opportunities to serve, removed from our opportunities to work. If we don't handle this now, our children and grandchildren will never be able to turn this back around.
Right, exactly. And that's what I was leading to. Because, you know, so much time would have passed and becomes the norm. And it's difficult to, you know, the complacency and all the psychological things that go with it, that those are considerations. Coming back now to the office that you're running for, what is the take on things? How are you doing? Are you getting a good response from the communities in terms of your efforts, in terms of your campaigns and so on and so forth?
Every time I speak and I have talked to a group of people, mm-hmm. I end up with the majority, and I end up with a strong majority because people like what I'm saying. Right now, when we talk about people stealing money from the government, my position, I support a recall vote. So if you elect someone to represent you and they violate the public trust, they take money that they should not be taking, they violate the public trust, then the people that are the voters should be able to call for a recall vote and vote them out. They should not have the luxury of saying, I refuse to step down.
That's important. Another issue that comes to civil rights that I'm thinking about also has to do with the issue of the justice system in terms of our communities, especially our African-American communities and Latino communities, in accordance with, you know, the law enforcement agencies and how they engage each other with each other and the disadvantages that are there. Is there any insight that you have to offer or to speak about in that regard in terms of looking at ways in which that situation can be improved?
That situation would improve immediately if the police department did what they were hired to do, mm-hmm. and that is represent the demographics of the communities that they serve. So when you get police departments that do not hire people in, like, for instance, in Hartford. They do not hire Hartford residents, and when they do, they get rid of them immediately. They don't promote them to be chief. So, you know, our chief comes from another town, right. Old Saybrook or someplace. I'm not knocking the town, but I'm saying that the state statute says that your police department should represent the people that it serves and reflect the demographics of the community that it serves. And once we do that, when people who live in those communities are actually running those institutions, live in those communities, and know the people, touch base with the people, and know the people that they're serving, and have a little more respect for the people that they serve, you're not going to run into that same problem.
Okay. And that's a very good point. In other words, people know their rights, and they know what they need to do to maintain those rights. And, of course, we need the proper people in position to make sure that those things are maintained at all times. And I suppose that those who are looking for an advantage otherwise are looking for people to look away.
Well, you know, we have the same issue. We were calling for the resignation of the police chief in Hartford.
Oh.
And based on the fact that the police chief in Hartford is not complying with the law. Civil rights laws are also laws. And if you decide you're not going to comply with the law, then you should not be a law enforcement officer. You certainly should not be chief.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, Attorney Jennings, anything that you'd like to talk about?
I'll talk about my platform.
Yes.
I support early voting. There's only four states in the United States that don't have early voting. Connecticut is one of them.
Oh.
We need to allow people to vote up to 2 weeks before the election so that if you're sick on election day or you have child care issues, that people should be able to vote. So they should be able to go and do early voting. There should be absentee ballots for all. If people
right.
don't want to come to the polls, they should be able to have absentee ballots. I think that every young person in the state of Connecticut should be registered to vote before they leave high school so that we don't have to track them down and keep having voter registration drives to get people when they should have been registered to vote initially. I think you should only be required to register to vote one time in your life.
Mm.
These parties are throwing people off and disenfranchising
right.
people right and left. Every time we have a major election, we have to have a major voter registration drive. The city of Hartford itself and some of these other cities have two voters lists, the active list and the inactive list. And this is a gross disservice to the people that are voters in this town and in this state. So I think that we want to do that. I want to have interns in every single department. When I'm Secretary of the State, every single office is going to have two young people that are interns that are required to go through a standard orientation. They're not there to get coffee for you. They are not there to make copies. They are there to learn how to run that department because in a couple years, in 10 years, they'll be eligible to run that
okay.
department.
Okay, very good point.
Okay, so those are some of the things that I think are important.
What do you think in terms of Election Day being a holiday? Because I hear a lot of talk about that. Do you?
I think it should be a holiday. We should celebrate Election Day. We should bring up the fact that people should know that this is a special day.
Right, right.
And there shouldn't be any competing interests. You know, it can be a holiday. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also when people are in school, they should have class presidents and they should do elections
right.
internally. They should learn how to, you know, run their own political campaigns in classes so that when they do get registered to vote, they know how to vet a person who's going to be represented. Them.
And give us one more point before we go. As you touched on that, I can't close this out without mentioning the importance of civics as a subject in school in terms of people understanding what the government is all about.
That is critically important. My son went to something called Boys State, and then now they have Girls State.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to go away for a week. They had to elect a governor. They were arguing over what license plates numbers
right.
they would have. The
mm-hmm.
governor gets number one, the lieutenant number two. I mean, they had to understand all of that.
Right.
And then they had to understand what the Speaker of the House did, you know, run parties. So it was a real experience. And my son was, every night he knew I was into politics. So he'd call me and say, okay, Ma, I want to be Speaker of the House. Now what do I do? Then he called me one day and he said, okay, Ma, I just quit and said I'm going to start my own party. I'm like...
Well, that's good, though. That's good. That's good practice.
It is.
And also, you know, it gives birth to somebody's intuition to find that they have the qualities to function in these capacities as well.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, Attorney Jennings, I thank you once again for coming in this afternoon to speak with us on our Peace and Love Community Hour right here on Radio 1400.am. And, of course, you're running for the statewide candidate for the Secretary of State.
Yes.
Of Connecticut. I wish you all the best.
Let me just say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of State is the highest elections official in the state. It is right below the governor, and everyone in the state of Connecticut can vote for Cynthia Jennings for Secretary of State. Everyone in the state of Connecticut, irrespective of your party.
Okay.
All you have to do is look for me on the independent party line. Look and vote for me, and then vote for whoever else you're going to vote for.
Very good point. Very good point. Because the point I was coming to is with someone with your background who has an interest and a love for the community and has dedicated your life and with proven results in the past in terms of what you have done, I think it's worthwhile to take a serious look at what your candidacy will mean for the state of Connecticut. I thank you once again, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. This is the Peace and Love Community Hour right here on Radio 1400.am. We'll come forward after these.
The sound of peace and love is on the move. Radio 1400.am can be heard anywhere near or far, in your car, at home, or in the office, even on your phone. Listen online at www.radio1400.am or on Alexa Smart Speaker and on demand at radio1400.am. Call on your phone, 563-999-3149. Again, that's 563-999-3149. The sound of peace and love is on the move.